Tonight we're going to finish up this morning's message from Matthew chapter 2. So if you would turn there, please. And we're going to focus just on one verse tonight, verse 11, because my last four things that I want to share with you about the Magi and their desire to connect to the Savior are found in verse 11. We looked at this morning the first four, which was that whenever they saw the star, they didn't just stop and admire it and then move on to the next thing. Rather, they did something about the star and set out and followed it. Number two, they persevered in their search. They had a desire, they had a passion, they went after where the star was leading them, and they persevered in their search. They didn't quit. Number three, they were not discouraged in the search when they got the word from the king and from the chief priests and scribes that they really didn't know where this king would be born. They thought that the king and these people would be just as excited as they were, but they were not. They had to go do some homework to find out where this babe was supposed to be born. And when they answered, got the answer, the king nor the chief priests or the scribes were not in the least bit interested in following up. That's striking. They were not interested in connecting to the Lord Jesus. Within a few months, King Herod would be dead, having died of a terrible, terrible disease, and also suffering from a wound that he had somebody trying to kill him, which he asked to be killed. He wasn't brave enough to commit suicide, so he asked somebody to kill him. The first guy refused because he knew he was going to be dead, so they killed him anyway. And then they got somebody else, and the wound was only to the abdomen region, which compounded his death. Very, very sad story there. And then number four, when the star came and rested over the place where Jesus was, what was the response of the shepherds? They were filled with joy. They rejoiced at what the Lord had done. Now I want to share with you the last four from this passage of Scripture, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of this passage of Scripture that reaches into the past and tells us some of the accounts of those things that happened after the birth of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we might take to heart the desire of the wise men to connect with the Lord Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's interesting that the book of Matthew does not record anything about the details of the birth of Jesus Christ. It gives the genealogy of Joseph, then goes on to tell a little bit about the circumstances that led up to the birth. The child was to be named Jesus. Those details, and then it stops. And the next scene that we have in chapter 2 is of the wise men desiring to meet the Christ child, going to Jerusalem to find the king to get the information that they needed to finish up the trip because they desired to do that. The fifth thing that I want to share with you comes from verse 11. And that's what happened when they arrived in Bethlehem at the destination of the star. It's very clear here that they entered in. They entered in. Have you ever traveled somewhere and desired to do something, and then when you got there, you found out that it wasn't open? I'll tell you a story from my invitation to my wife to get married. I picked her up at her apartment, and my plan was to go to Paris Mountain, to the park up there. I already picked out the spot. And I'm going to take her up there. I'm going to get down on one knee, and I'm going to beg her to marry me. All right? Got up to the front gate on Paris Mountain, and it was locked. It had closed 30 minutes before. I was just like devastated. What am I going to do? So we backed out. I didn't say a word to Beth. I backed out. We drove down through Traveler's Rest, went around the mountain, came back to the other side, pulled into the parking lot of her apartment building. And I turned to her and I said, "Honey, I just blew this whole thing right out of the water. I said, I was taking you up there to ask you to marry me, and so I'm going to ask you right here. I said, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks, but would you marry me? And you know what she said? She didn't disagree with me about the box of rocks thing. I don't know if I said it that way or what, but I had blown that one. I mean, all these people with these wonderful stories of how they got engaged and whatever, and mine is a complete dud. All right? She said yes. Now, we got married just the same. All right? Now, we've done a lot of things together through the years, and we're working on 2020 will be year 28. For us, we're getting closer to 30. I haven't caught up with my brother yet. But, you know, we're getting closer to that time. And I think about that, and it's just a passing memory. I wish I had planned that out a little bit better, maybe checked and see what time they closed. But they were closed on that day at 5:30. And so when I got there at 6, it wasn't open. So I had to go to Plan B, which I didn't know what that was. And so it ended up being in the parking lot of the apartment complex, asking her to marry me. I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. But I want you to see that every detail of their trip went off without a glitch. And you say, oh, wait a minute. When they got to Jerusalem, nobody knew where. No, they found out. They asked the right people. It's when you ask the wrong people and get wrong directions that problems come. But they got right directions. I have been on trips where I have gone into a convenience store and I just look like, you know, tourist across there. Have you ever had somebody play games with you at a convenience store when you asked them where such and such was located? And they said, oh, this is a tourist. Let's give them a little ride. Yeah, it's right down the street here. You're just a mile away from me. Drive down there. It's not even close to that. And they're playing games with you. You don't like to get wrong directions, and you especially don't like your GPS giving you wrong instructions. And that's happened to us before. I remember we had a trip with the Whitneys, and we were in the hollers of South Carolina, North Carolina, driving on back. We were seeing people that we didn't want anything to do with up in those mountains and so forth. And GPS said, I-40 just ahead. Well, guess what? We finally found it. We were underneath it. When we finally got there, we made our way up this road and was able to get onto the interstate and go on to our way. But GPS was taking us through every little street, dirt road that you can imagine. Nobody likes getting wrong directions. Never once, now listen, never once did the wise men get wrong directions. Isn't that a beautiful part of the story? And when they arrived at the house where the baby was located, they rejoiced when they saw the star stop there. They rejoiced. And then what is it? What did they do? Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they made it all the way. Their long journey, over hundreds and hundreds of miles, through the desert, all the things that they faced, they finally made it to the place and they went inside. Now there's a lesson, folks. There's a lesson that's found here. There was no disappointment for the wise men. There was no disappointment of finally making the trip and then saying, closed, sorry, come back some other time. They didn't get that message. But rather they were able to go inside. They entered in. Folks, there have been many people through the years that I've had opportunity, a lot of teenagers, that I've had sit in my office that had come to my office because they knew they needed to get saved. I've had the privilege in that little room to lead young people to the Lord, but I've also had some that ended very disappointingly. Now, I want to tell you something. You need to enter into Jesus Christ. Not just know about the door, but go through the door into Jesus Christ. These wise men entered in. And notice number 6. When they entered in, what did they do? What was the first thing that they did? You know, in the Christmas accounts that you hear so many times on television and on the radio and on the internet, you know, and they offered him gold, you know, frankincense and myrrh. That's not what they did first. What did they do that gets skipped so many times? They fell down and worshiped him. They fell down. They entered in and they worshiped. This was the one that they had read about, studied about, learned about, acted upon to make that long journey, and now they're before him. And the Greek language is very, very strong here. And they fell down. Literally, it means to drive the knees into the ground. You ever fell down like that? To come to a place where you just fall down on the ground to worship God? I've been told through the writings of individuals that knew A.W. Tozier, that he was a man that whenever he came into his office on a Sunday morning, he always invited one of his deacons to go with him to pray before the service would take place. He lived in Chicago and at the Alliance Church that was there. And they said he would walk into the room, and it was almost like he drove his knees down into the ground, where he would fall and it would just be a muffled kaplump as he went down to the ground, and then he would lay himself prostrate on the floor. He would drive his knees down, he would fall forward on the ground, and there would be silence. Some of the newer deacons that were invited to come had never seen this before, so they sat quietly. One deacon said, "I went over and tapped him to see if he was still alive." And he turned and he said, "Are you not going to pray?" And the deacon said, I'll pray. And he started praying out loud. And Tozier reached over and tapped him. "Pray silently, please. I'm talking to the Lord myself." Driving his knees in the ground. That's the picture of the Greek word here where they fell down. They literally came into the room, and their first reaction of seeing the Christ child was to fall down on the ground and worship him. I want to tell you something, folks. That's urgency of desiring to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I've seen it over the years where people, I remember the young man that came during Bill Hall's revival. This was 15 years ago. And we walked into room one after his service, after he had come to church. And he walked in. He was a student out here at Whiting Field. And we walked back into that room, and he sat down in the chair, and he said, "Pastor, can we just cut to the chase? I know I need to be saved. I don't need to hear any Bible verses. I just need to cry out to God." And that's exactly what we did. I didn't open my Bible. I didn't read any Bible verses to him. But that young man sat in that room and poured out his heart before God. You know what he was trying to do? He knew he needed to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was urgency in his voice as he talked to the Lord. We live in a day and time when the whole culture has slowed down in its view of eternity. It's slowed down in its action toward Jesus Christ, and there's not a sense of urgency. And if there was ever a time for urgency, it's right now. The intense wickedness that we see all around the world, all of the things that are happening. Just today, it was announced by one of the top 500 Fortune corporations that they're now going to go ahead and on their applications are no longer going to list male and female. They are going to put the list that comes from the Department of Labor of all the different genders that they are. They're going to put other, and then they're going to leave it where they can actually put it themselves. You know why? Because the Fortune 500 companies are afraid they might get sued if they left somebody off the list. So what they've done is they've added other gender with a line beside it, so the person can write it in themselves. And then there's an option on the application form. There's an option to not list any gender. because they didn't want to offend anybody. Now, folks, we're living in a time where this is the world that our kids are growing up in. Our grandkids are growing up in there. And we've lost that urgency to get to Jesus Christ and to abide in Him. And folks, that's exactly what these wise men did. And God led them there. And when it was time to leave, they were going to head back up to Jerusalem. And He said, no. He said, don't go back to Herod. It tells you the kind of heart that these men had. They didn't say, well, if we don't go back, we're going to get in trouble. They left, and the Lord protected them, allowed them to be able to go back to their country. Very quickly, I want to finish up here. Because we find here that they sensed an urgency to worship Him now and not wait until later. That's number 7. Worship Him now and not wait till later. Some people actually think that the only time that they can worship God is at church on Sunday. Can I blow that one out of the water? Do you realize that there are some people that can't have church on Sunday? Do you realize that our pilgrim forebears had to meet at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and only 2 or 3 with their pastor because of the fear of they were going to be hauled off to jail? That was their church service. Just 2 or 3 from a family that walked in the dark and made their way over to either Pastor Robinson's place or to William Brewster's place, and there they worshiped the Lord. Some of them, because of the word that had been put out by the English government, didn't go at all. They worshiped at home, and they called upon their God. You can worship God anytime, anywhere. They felt the need at that moment, before they presented their gifts, before they went through the whole entourage introducing themselves, the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped Him. Now, this is part of the connecting to Christ aspect that I want to emphasize with you tonight. It's wonderful to connect with Jesus Christ, but it's a whole different level of living when you worship Him. When you worship Him. What does that mean? It means to ascribe worth to His holy and precious name. It means to give Him His due. Oh, how important that is. Just recently, the president honored a man who died several years ago, but had never been recognized for a very important event. It was in Korea during the Korean War, and this particular individual had saved 6 men in his unit. He had been cited by his commander, but they had never delivered the cross to him that would honor him for what he had done in saving 6 men's lives. He had lived his adult life, passed away, and one of the family members had contacted the congressman and said, would you talk to the president, see if he'd be willing to provide this to my loved one? And so he did. He brought the family to the White House, and they presented this cross to this particular individual for his bravery in saving them. He was given, as President Trump said, he was given his due. And he said it was long overdue. Now, this man had lived his whole life. He never once wrote a letter to the Pentagon and asked for his award. Never once. He's told his family, it's enough. I have the written statement from my commanding officer. That's enough for me. I don't need all the stuff. But he got his due. And his family was able to be there as they read the whole account as it was read by the President of the United States telling about his feats and what he had done. He got his due. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord Jesus deserves His due every day of our life. And by the way, when we get to heaven, He's going to get His due for all eternity because He is worthy. He's the Lamb of God. That brings us to the final thought here from verse 11. When they worshiped, it was to give something. They didn't come empty-handed. They had planned way back before they ever left on their trip. They had planned to give something to the Christ child. Oh, how important this is, folks. They planned to give. They were not seeking. They were not oriented to receiving anything from this baby or from his family. But they came with a desire to give, and what they brought was not cheap. It wasn't a Dollar General special. It wasn't a Dollar Tree or Family Dollar discount. Ooh, that's perfect for so-and-so, and it will only cost me a dollar. Okay? Well, pat yourself on the back, and it'll last about as long as that dollar will last too. Now, I'm not saying you ought not to buy things from Family Dollar, because we buy all the time. But when you're thinking about something special for your wife, men, you're not thinking about running down to Dollar Tree. And if you are, you deserve to be hit in the head with a rolling pin. All right? Let's just face the facts here. Right, Brother Richard? I mean, you know, the first thing in your mind when you think of your dear wife is, I'm going to run down to Dollar Tree. Okay? And he's going to run to Lowe's. He's got to get use his employee discount. All right? But he's not thinking about, you know, Family Dollar. These individuals brought expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to give. Let me ask you something. Connecting to the Savior, do you come to give or do you come to get? Because your approach to the Lord Jesus makes all the difference in the world of how you're going to receive from Him. How you're going to enjoy His grace. Because you see, He gives His grace. But He wants you to give Him your all. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You for this account that You have given to us in the Word. These 12 verses of Scripture relating to men that are not named in the Scripture or named in other historical resources, but are individuals that traveled many, many miles and sacrificed their time and their treasure because they wanted to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, You wanted them to connect with Your Son too, because You provided them with a star and a dream. I'm so thankful tonight for the record that's given to us, because it gives us 8 things to contemplate at this Christmas time. Pray that You would help us to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. There be one here tonight who is not connected. Maybe they think they are, but there's no real life. There's no real joy. There's no peace. It's just life and coming to church on Sunday. I pray that You might convict them of their need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they be truly connected, plugged fully into the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God, baptized by Your Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that these thoughts might stay in our minds and hearts, that we might honor Thee by connecting to Thee. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.